Welcome back to Mission Lab Ministries. I want to talk to you today about waiting on the Lord. I want to give you a few verses first before we talk about it. Let's look at Psalms 27 verse 14. It says, "Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Psalms 37 verse 34 says, "Wait on the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. He will honor you. He will honor you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed." And Proverbs 20, verse 22 says, "Don't say, 'I will get even for this wrong.' Wait for the Lord to handle the matter." Another translation says, "Do not say, 'I will avenge this evil.' Wait expectantly for the Lord, and he will rescue and save you." The definition for wait is to look eagerly for. Another definition is to remain in readiness for some purpose. Waiting does not have to be a sorrowful time, but it can be a time of training with high expectations of what is coming ahead of us. One example would be one's wedding. A lot of planning and preparation is done to prepare for what is called the big day ahead. The church has to be selected, the food has to be chosen, the dress and the man's suit has to be picked out. There is so much more that has to be done, but one has to be patient, or they will not get prepared properly for their wedding. Another example would be when a visitor comes over to your home. When one is expecting company to come over, they may want to clean the home and make it presentable to the visitor. They would want to wear clothing that is better than what they normally wear on a daily basis. And they would plan meals to serve to their guests. They may get so excited because their guest is coming over, but they have to still wait with patience for that time to arrive. One more example would be Christ's return for his bride. With Christ's return being imminent, we should be refocusing our attention on God and be resolute to follow and act on his instructions or commandments. We have such a wonderful eternity to look forward to that our expectations of what is coming ahead would strongly compel us to do what we should be doing and wait patiently for Christ's return. Easier said than done, right? So why is it so hard to be waiting with patience? It does have a very high priority in these last of the last days. To find out, let's look at what the hardest part of waiting is. Waiting requires us to be patient, which isn't always our natural state. The average person throughout their lifetime spends 5 years waiting in lines and queues, where roughly 6 months of that time is waiting in traffic at the lights. You would think that we would be experts at waiting with patience, but our world that we live in now is so fast-paced and has so many instant fulfillments, such as fast food, anyone getting coffees or lattes, and automatic bill paying and banking online. We expect to get done what we want to get done when we want to do it, and to get what we want when we want it. We are so used to these things that it has hindered the growth of our waiting with patience towards things and others, especially toward God and his promises. Psalms 37 verse 7 says, "Wait patiently for the Lord to act." We want God to fulfill his promises to us now, right now. After all, we say to him, "Can't you see that I am hurting so bad right now and need it right away?" But what we may not realize is that what we view as severe and excruciating pain may not be as bad as we make it out to be. It can be likened to when our muscles are sore after exercising or weightlifting. There is an old saying that comes along with the weightlifting which says, "No pain, no gain." And it means that when you exercise a muscle that hasn't been used much or not at all, then it will become sore for a day or two because you have done something to stretch the muscle trying to build up its strength. Stretched muscles can become larger muscles. The same is true when it comes to our waiting with patience. When we stretch our waiting muscles out, whether through time or in intensity, it then becomes more possible for it to become larger. A small building has a small support frame, but if that building were to be built larger, then it has to have a larger and stronger support frame horizontally and or vertically in order to handle the additional weight that is to be placed upon the foundation. This takes a little time, but it can become larger and provide a greater service to someone. When we exercise our waiting with patience, then we can become larger and be of more service to God. Waiting helps to grow our character and build the patience muscles that help us embrace satisfaction for what we have now and thankful to God for what we will soon have. When we embrace a promise of the Lord, whether we see it in the Bible or we receive it through direct revelation from the Lord into our spirit, it is like planting a seed into the ground. First of all, the seed needs to stay in the ground. We shouldn't be digging it up every day to see if it's growing. Doing so could prevent it from entering the germination stage, or if it has already entered the germination stage, it could tear the very fragile sprout from off the seed, causing the whole growth process to die. And also, if it has germinated and sprouted out of the ground, we shouldn't expect it to produce fruit shortly thereafter. Generally, the bigger the seed, the longer it needs to grow to maturity and produce fruit. The same is true for the promises of God that would produce bigger results in our life. From the time one plants radish seeds to the time when they become fully mature and ready to eat is just over a month. But when it comes to a corn seed, it can take 3 to 4 months before it is ready for consumption. God promises us smaller things in the spirit realm that do not take long to come to pass in the natural realm. But some other things take even longer to come to fulfillment in the natural realm. We have to be patient so that God can bring these things to pass. During this time, He will want us to stay focused on His ability and willingness to do for us what He has promised. He will never promise us anything that He cannot and will not complete. He said in Isaiah 55 verses 10 through 11 that whatever He has said shall not return to Him empty or without effect. What He has said, He is more than able to do. His desire to do things for us does not end. The only way that He cannot complete these things is if we do not believe or stop believing. As Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Our faith in His ability and willingness gives God permission to make things happen for us that He has promised to us. If we would become fully persuaded, as was said about Abraham, then we would be more willing to wait for the fulfillment of any promise that God makes, whether it be short-term or long-term. Luke 21 verse 19 says, by your patience possess your souls. And we cannot be patient without waiting. When we raise our children, it may be frustrating when they don't show improvement where and when we think they should. However, all children learn in various ways and at different speeds. We may get frustrated when a promise from God that seems so simple hasn't come to pass yet in our lives. But we shouldn't get frustrated nor lose hope that it will not come to pass. We may believe and receive at different times and at different paces like the children learn. Just because one of us is slower to receive from God than others, it doesn't mean that something's wrong with us. When Jesus talked about the parable of the talents, there were 3 different men who had different sizes of talents. Just because one received more than the others, it didn't mean that he was better than them. It just means that was his capability. Even the man with the fewest talents, if he would have increased his talents over a period of time by just a small amount, he would have been praised just as much as someone who had the largest amount of talents, who had the biggest increase. We should never get frustrated at ourselves for small increases, for any increase in the kingdom of God is worth rejoicing over. But if we have done anything that halts God's promises from coming to pass in our life, then all we need to do is repent and remember God's promise to us and remember how faithful He is. He can cause the seed to grow again. Years ago, when I planted a garden in the spring, the soil had to be at a certain temperature before planting. This way, the germination process would not be halted. One year, it looked like the weather was going to stay warm, so I planted the garden early and expected all the seed to start growing and sprouting up out of the ground. Right after I had planted all of the seed, the weather turned cold again and stayed that way for almost 2 weeks. I was concerned that the seeds in the ground would not grow because the chance of mildew forming on the seeds in the ground would cause the seeds to rot and destroy all of the work that I had done. When the weather turned warm again, I waited for days to see what would happen. After about a week, the seeds sprouted out of the ground and started growing. The cold weather had only stunned the growth of the seeds, but hadn't killed them. Sometimes we let our heart get cold and the growth process of the seeds of God's promises to us are stunned. If we would warm our heart up with the Word of God again, our belief in God's ability and willingness to grow the seeds of promise would help restart the growth process. We should wait on God regardless of whether or not we may see any immediate results. It may be days, weeks, months, or even years before some of the things we were believing for come to pass. Some even wait decades before receiving the fulfilled promises from God in their life. No matter how short or how long it may be, waiting plays a key part in the seed being planted, the germination process being started, and the full growth of the plant into fulfillment, where we can enjoy the fruit of the harvest in our life. Waiting on the Lord requires that we keep our focus on God, His promises, His ability, and His desire to help us. He never wavers in His love for us, and His promises will always be true as they have always been. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His faithfulness is for all times, even before He created this earth. His promises, ability, and desire had no beginning and will have no end. Just as a circle has no beginning nor end, so it is with God. He will never change. He has, is, and always will be the same. As we wait upon the Lord, we should remember this. His promises are a part of this circle, with His promises always being fulfilled. Regardless of what the devil says, God is always faithful. The devil may say that all good things come to an end, but God says that He holds all good things in His hand and He will never let us down by not giving us what He has promised to us. The only time when we don't get what we have been promised is if we leave that circle of God's fulfillment and chase after the dead-end line that the devil deceives us to follow. His dead-end line leads us to nowhere. He should know. He chose to chase after it when he tried to overthrow God. The effects upon us would be the same as it has been for him if we choose to follow him instead of God. But we know better. The devil has cheated people out of the promises that God made to them, but there are many who are now believing God and standing firm while waiting for him to bring his promises into our natural realm as they are already in the spiritual realm. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We see God's promises in our heart for the reality that they already are, and we wait on the Lord to finish what he has started by giving us promises that he wants to, can, and will fulfill. Waiting does not have to be the hardest part of receiving if we would just realize that God is doing the work and all we have to do is believe. So renew your hope in God and wait with expectation and preparation that God will fulfill every and all of His promises to you. Father, I pray for all of those who have had a hard time waiting on you to bring your promises to pass in their lives. Remind them of your love that desires to give your children good things when the time and the conditions are right. You do this because you want to show them that your way is both the best and the lasting way. Your way of bringing promises true into natural reality is through your eternal truths that we can receive as we keep your word before our eyes and in our hearts on a daily and consistent basis. Thank you for all the promises you have given to us which have, are, and will come to pass, especially the promise of eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.